This podcast is about your future. What if the next years of your life can be the best years of your life? When full-time work becomes optional, you'll have the time to do all the things you've always wanted to do, if only you had the time, and soon you will. But to make the most of it, you'll need to be well-prepared, and that goes well beyond your financial planning. Each week, your host, Joe Casey, is inviting you into conversations with his guests to bring you insights, inspiration, and practical ideas to design your new life, a life you'll build around what matters most to you and on your own terms. Let's get started.
It's so easy to take things for granted. In my case, one of those things was walking. I suffered a serious running injury in 2016 and really couldn't walk for almost 6 months. 4 months on crutches, 3 days a week physical therapy, but now I'm grateful I can walk every day. Many people can't. But if you can walk, how could it enhance your life if you walked the amount that's right for you? Our guest today will lead you to think about walking a little differently than perhaps you do today. Dave Paul has spent his life working in radio, mostly on air. Most recently, Dave was part of a morning program, getting up at 3:30 in the morning. Even though Dave and his wife Ava recently moved from Maryland to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, he continues to work for the station in a different capacity now from home. Dave has been walking for fitness since 2013, averaging just under 21,000 steps a day. Dave hosts the daily podcast Walking is Fitness, a podcast he records while walking. Dave is also passionate about helping others turn their walking from merely functional to a fitness activity, which is why he started the podcast. At the same time, Dave is using his daily walks to help him prepare for his own upcoming retirement. So Dave, thanks so much for making the time to talk with us today.
I am honored to be here. Thank you, Joe.
So I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about your story and in particular, why you began walking.
Yeah, so when I was about 47 years old, a couple of things happened. I started gaining some weight in a way that, quite candidly, I didn't like the way it looked. And so that was happening. And at the same time, I was also starting to not feel really well. I think it was some blood sugar issues. I never went to the doctor. There is a little history of diabetes in my family. And so I assumed that that's kind of what was starting to happen. I don't recommend not going to the doctor, but that's what I did. Instead, I started exercising. My wife is a runner. And so I thought, why not? And I started running and literally would run from one mailbox to the next and then stop. And then the next day would add one more mailbox and just kept going until I finally ran for a mile, which I think took me a couple of weeks to build up the stamina to do that. And that was such a glorious day. And I really enjoyed running. I ran some 5Ks. I ran half marathons. I ran one accidental marathon. I thought I had signed up for the half marathon. And the night before, went to pick up the race packet and learned that, nope, I accidentally signed up for the full marathon. And because the half marathon was sold out, I couldn't downgrade. And Joe, as a former runner yourself, you know how important and motivating those medals are. And I knew that if I didn't run the race, that I wouldn't get the medal. So I spent about 30 minutes thinking through, can I do this and not die? And I had recently heard about a program where you run a mile and walk a minute, run a mile, walk a minute. And I thought, okay, I can do that. And actually ran the marathon, the full marathon the following day and finished in under 5 hours. And so that was a lot of fun. And I ran for about 5 years and I reached a point, it was probably a fork in the road, where I was starting to get a little bored with running and realized that if I invested time, that I could probably be a pretty good runner. If I was more intentional about it, trained better, and might even be able to compete in my age groups. And I was on the verge of making that decision when my employer offered everybody a Fitbit. And so I was like, sure, I'll take a Fitbit. And got my first Fitbit on January 2nd, 2013. And of course, you know, we've all heard that 10,000 steps is the goal. And I assumed, because I was a runner, that I would have no problem reaching 10,000 steps. And I'll never forget the first day I put that Fitbit on, went for a run, and looked at the step total, and it was like, that's all? I wasn't even close to 10,000. Are you serious? And continued to run. And over the course of a few months, I would run for 3 miles, and then I would walk for a mile so I could get some more steps. And probably 4 or 5 months after getting the Fitbit, I recognized that I enjoyed that 1 mile walk at the end of the run more than I enjoyed the run. In fact, that 1 mile walk was my reward for running 3 miles. And I'll never forget, as I was at the park ready to do my 3 mile run, thinking, this is dumb. If I enjoy walking more, why don't I just walk? And instead of running for 3 miles and walking for a mile, I walked 4 miles and absolutely loved it and never looked back. And so that was my transition from running to walking. I didn't stop running because I couldn't run anymore because there was an injury. It was simply that I enjoyed walking so much more.
So how has walking benefited you in ways that maybe you didn't expect?
You know, that's a great question. And you had a guest on recently, Caroline Williams, and she yes. talked about the same thing. And I was listening to her and I was like, yes, that's exactly it. I started the running and then the walking, mostly for health and fitness benefits. And I was not expecting the benefit of problem solving, that walking is an amazing way to solve problems. And I have now reached a place in my life where if there's an issue, a challenging issue, a problem that needs to be solved, I don't even sweat about it. I don't stress over it. I know that all I need to do is go take a walk and I will solve the problem, or at least come up with the next step or two if I don't solve the whole problem. And I'll give you a perfect example. So 3.5 years ago, my wife was undergoing treatment for breast cancer. And she's fine. It was successful. And it was Christmas time. I think it was 2 days before Christmas. And we had already determined that we're going to go on a trip together weekend away. That was going to be our gift for each other. And she was feeling the impact of the radiation. And it was a hard season for her. And I thought, you know, I need to get her a gift that really means something to her, something she's not expecting, something that makes her cry. Now, you need to know something about me. I'm a terrible gift giver. I have set the bar really low when it comes to expectations of gifts that come from me, which is one of the benefits of being a terrible gift giver. Nobody expects anything. The downside of that is when I actually need to come up with a good idea, I'm terrible at it. So I literally went in our basement and paced back and forth with the goal of, I need an idea for a gift to give my wife. It was a problem that needed to be solved. And Joe, within 10 minutes, I had an idea and instantly knew it was a winner, went out, bought the gift. I was so excited about it. I gave it to her on Christmas Eve night, which we never do. She wasn't expecting it and it made her cry.
I've been doing an experiment with gift giving, with trying this idea of giving people what they want. We'll see how it goes, but that's been my latest experiment with gift giving, because it can be a challenge. But that's a great story. So, plus the extra steps you got in those 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. They'll
count. So why is walking a good fitness solution?
Well, I think there are four things that make walking a great fitness solution. One is it's effective as exercise. CDC recommends that we get between 150 and 300 minutes of moderate level of physical activity every week. Walking fits that bill. If you're going 3 to 4 miles an hour, you're in that moderate zone. And 3 to 4 miles an hour, it's not super fast, but it's not what I call grocery store pace. And real quick way, real easy way to determine if you're walking fast enough, just go find a track where you've got 1 mile that's measured out, walk it. And if you can reach the 1 mile point at 20 minutes, you're going 3 miles an hour. If you can hit it at 15 minutes, you're going 4 miles an hour So you're in the zone that the CDC recommends. So it's effective exercise. It's also flexible. I mean, you don't need a gym. All you need is a front door that opens. And, you know, you can walk at any time of day in any kind of weather. Not all weather is equally comfortable, but you can still, if you've got the right gear, you can head out and walk. It's walking is sustainable. It's the kind of thing, particularly as I'm entering the later season of my life, I'm probably 3 years from retirement now. So I'm thinking ahead and I want a physical activity, exercise that I can sustain and keep doing as I age. And then really for me, the best part of walking that makes it a great fitness solution, it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. You can change it up. You can walk in cities. I love urban exploring with walking. You can go walk in the woods. You can walk in the neighborhood. You can walk with people. You can walk without people and listen to podcasts. It's just a ton of fun.
Absolutely. So versatile. I'm a big podcast listener when I walk. And it's a great way to multitask, but also walking with others can be useful too. It doesn't have to be all one thing, as you mentioned. Now, I'm currently walking about 12,000 steps a day, which I built up to. And it's really just a benchmark to admire what you do, averaging 21,000 steps per day. So that's very impressive.
Well, it's actually a little embarrassing because the latest research has just debunked the whole 10,000 step myth as the number you need to reach for health benefits. And now they're determining it's about 7,500 steps, which is about double what the average American walks. So it's, you know, you have to be intentional to reach 7,500, but they've determined that above 7,500, the health benefits really start to plateau. But I just love walking so much that 21,000, it's not a goal anymore. In fact, I don't even know how many steps I walked yesterday. In fact, if you want, I can pull this up and embarrass myself by how many I got yesterday. I'm already at 18,000 today. And yeah, look at this, yesterday, 21,698. It's really a reflection of how much I love walking and how walking has become part of my lifestyle.
I'm in the obsession phase currently, and I can tell you exactly how many. I'm laser focused on it, but I appreciate that. But my question for you is, how do you find the time to walk 21,000 steps a day on average?
That's a great question. I take two walks in the morning. I take the first walk, which is to record the podcast. And I go do that. And that's probably a 30-minute walk. Come back, load it into my computer, and just get it prepared to upload. And then I grab a bite to eat. And then I take a longer walk, which is probably anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. Now, I work from home, so I don't have to worry about commutes, you know, which is a huge benefit. That hour to an hour and a half walk, that is really, again, a reflection of how much I love walking. So there's that. And then usually in the afternoon and evening, my wife, Ava, and I will go for one or two more walks. They could range anywhere from 15 minutes to a half hour. Last night, we live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. One of the reasons we moved here is the community that we live in is designed for activity. And we live about a mile away from a town center. And so last night, it was a beautiful night. We walked to dinner and then walked home. And that's just part of the lifestyle that has now really sprang from this love of walking and fitness.
I'm now wondering why I didn't arrange for us to talk while we were both walking during the recording of this podcast. Could have increased our totals.
That would have been fun.
Yes, but I appreciate that. And besides time, what are the other major challenges or obstacles that you see people face in starting and keeping up a daily walking practice?
Joe, that is a great question. And this really is the primary reason why I started the podcast and the blog, which predates the podcast by a couple of years. There's been research that indicates 92% of all goals are not accomplished, are not reached. And I would imagine that the bulk of those unreached goals happen around January 1st, in the first 2-3 weeks of January. And, you know, whether it's a New Year's resolution or a goal that you set outside of January 1st, we often, there's something about our lives that we don't like that we want to change. And the goal represents transformation. So we'll get real specific here about fitness and even walking. It represents a transformation that we want to accomplish. And those goals almost always start with a tank filled with emotion. There is so much emotion, emotional motivation. You could go out and you could go from 3,500 steps a day to 10,000 steps a day and probably not even bat an eyelash in the first 2-3 days of setting a goal because it just feels so great. But the problem is, as you know, anytime that you're dealing with health and fitness, that the results that you ultimately want to see take a lot longer than the emotions last. So what happens is after a week or so, those emotions have tamped down. You're not seeing the results that you wanted to. Maybe it was a weight loss that you wanted to see, or you wanted to feel better. In fact, at this point, you're probably feeling worse because you jumped into the deep end of the pool. And after another week of grinding it out, you then start just looking for excuses to not do it anymore. And so the challenge is, how do you sustain a fitness goal beyond when those emotions have died out? And my counsel, the blog and the podcast are all built on this foundation of start small, think long. That's the primary reason why my podcast is no more than 10 minutes. A 10-minute walk every day feels doable even when you're kind of thinking, yeah, I don't feel like it. I didn't get enough sleep. I'm tired. I got a busy day. But 10 minutes, I can do that. And so the first goal of fitness is to create a habit. And, you know, we tend to think 21 days, 30 days. Nope. Research now indicates it's about 66 days. So you build that habit. And then over time, as you start to find the fun, you start to increase your fitness capacity, you get some momentum where the wind is now at your back and you're enjoying this walk. You're starting to see these other benefits. And it just, I think at that point, then you really have opportunities to increase and do more. But it's those first couple of weeks, those first handful of weeks that are just so hard once the emotions die down.
So some people may not think walking is the most scintillating topic, but I know from my running days and certainly from walking that there's always some great stories. And I'm curious, what have you encountered on your walks that you didn't expect?
Well, I will tell you that just in the last week, I have encountered an alligator. I have encountered a coyote. I have encountered a bald eagle and a snake. Now, those may not be the kinds of things that cause you to go, oh, well, that sounds like fun. Let me head out because I can't wait to see all three of those either. So the alligator was in a lake. I was totally safe. In fact, it was kind of fun because I saw the alligator surface and I was actually recording the podcast and stopped and had some fun with that. And you can even hear the alligator. I had no idea. They snort. He snorted. I was like, did you hear that? So that was fun. Of course, the bald eagle is just majestic. The coyote was a little unnerving because we aren't supposed to have coyotes down here, but there have been some reports of coyotes. And he went running by me. He didn't see me. He was maybe a dozen feet from me. And it was actually kind of cool. Now, if he had stopped and looked at me, I think the cool factor would have dropped. But my favorite story, Joe, actually goes back probably a decade or so. When we lived in Maryland, we lived about an hour from Washington, D.C. And I love Washington, D.C. Love going to D.C. and walking. I can easily put 20,000 steps on my Fitbit before lunchtime. It's just an amazing walking city. So to my shame, I lived in Maryland my entire life before we moved here to Myrtle Beach about a year and a half ago. I had never gone into DC to see the cherry blossoms, which is just a beautiful thing around the tidal basin. And so one Sunday morning, I was on my iPad or iPhone, whatever, and saw that the cherry blossoms were near peak bloom. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to head on over. And so I went around to my wife and my kids and said, anybody want to go see the cherry blossoms? And only my youngest daughter, who I think was maybe 10 at the time, said, sure, Dad, I'll go. So she hopped in the car, drove to DC. And one advantage of walking for fitness is you're not afraid of parking farther away. So I parked, found free parking that was about 3 miles from the tidal basin. So I didn't have to, you know, encounter all the parking hassles, parked, and was walking towards the Jefferson Memorial. And we were going to pass the White House. And as we were coming up on the White House, I noticed a crowd of people gathered right there on Pennsylvania Avenue. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And so we got to the crowd of people and realized the crowd was there because the Secret Service had blocked off Pennsylvania Avenue. And so the crowd was kind of watching. And we got there just in time to see President Obama and his family walk across Pennsylvania Avenue as they were on their way to church. My favorite walking story.
That is tough to top. That's a great, great, great story. So you mentioned walking before in terms of 3 to 4 miles in an hour. So what about pace? There's different types of pacing. When we spoke with Caroline Williams, she talked about different goals and different ways of walking, long pondering walks versus walking more briskly. What's your opinion of the optimal pace? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am probably close to 4 miles an hour. And I don't want to say that I naturally walk faster. I think over time, my pace just has quickened. People don't like walking with me. We were the Outer Banks with some friends on a vacation, and we were going to go for a walk after dinner. And one of my friends said, as long as it's not a forced march. And everybody knew what he meant. It was Dave walks too fast. But in terms of health and fitness benefits, I don't go 4 miles an hour or really brisk the entire time I'm walking. There are times when I'll slow the pace down. In fact, I have discovered that where I'm walking often dictates the pace. So I have recently discovered a wooded area near my home that I enjoy walking through. And without realizing it, I recognize that my pace is actually slower as I'm just like enjoying the beauty of it. And then if I'm walking on, there's a sidewalk that I'll walk on most mornings. It's probably about a mile long. I mean, I can see a mile away. And I find that my pace as I'm walking there tends to be much faster, probably because I'm goal-oriented and I like, I want to get to the end. And the quickest way to get there is by picking up the pace. Long story short, I have really, in terms of optimal, I try to vary it up. I don't always want to be moving super fast, but I also don't want to always be moving slow. I'm trying to change it up because, as you know, if you do the same thing the same way every day, exercise actually starts losing its benefits. You do need to kind of change it up. So pace is a part of that. I will tell you, Joe, and I love this research. You know, we can always find research that supports, like I love research that says coffee will help you live longer because I love coffee, particularly black coffee. So I read that and I feel good about myself and also a little superior because I like black coffee. But I saw a headline recently that said walking fast, walking brisk can shave 16 years off your biological age. And my first thought when I saw the headline was, oh, that means I'm going to live 16 years longer? Maybe, maybe not. Really what it is, without getting into the science, because I'm not a scientist, that they've discovered that walking fast, if you do that over time, you actually lower your biological age by as much as 16 years. Joe, my birthday is in 2 days. And now I'm like focused on, I think I'm really 16 years younger than this biological age or this chronological age that I'm going to be celebrating in 2 days. I kind of feel good about that.
You'll save a lot on candles too.
That's great.
Don't forget the research that shows that alligators and snakes increase the pace by about 23%.
Well, I can tell you that when I saw the snake in particular, there was a shot of adrenaline that, because I'm not a huge snake fan. Turns out the snake was actually dead.
I ran across one in a long run one Sunday morning. Never forget it. Sunning himself or herself. And I jumped, and I, at that age, didn't realize I could still jump. Very high.
So Ava and I, last fall, we were walking together, and it was after sunset, and we were walking along a paved trail that had some leaves on it. And my wife does not have the same fear, anxiety of snakes that I have. They don't bother her. And so we're walking along, and she calmly says to me, "I think I just stepped on a snake." And of course, my adrenaline was like, "What?" And she turned on the flashlight on her iPhone, turned around, and sure enough, there was probably a 3-4 foot snake that was curled up that she had just stepped on, and she was just as calm as could be about it. And I'm like, "Let's go."
I would have been jumping as high as I can at this stage, which is debatable. So you mentioned before that you're about 3 years or so ahead of retirement, and I'm curious, how is walking helping you prepare for retirement?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you know, because you talk about this all the time, and I like to think of retirement as a stool with three legs, and all three legs are important. There's the money part, there's health, and there's purpose. And oftentimes, you know, we focus a lot on the money because without that leg, you really can't retire. You can retire without health, good health, or without a purpose. But in terms of a successful retirement, that's really what I'm aiming for, is not just reaching the retirement finish line with enough money. So, you know, the most obvious way that walking is helping me prepare for retirement is, you know, with the health and fitness. And I'm grateful that I began this journey in my 40s. So, you know, I'm approaching retirement with what feels like a lot of fitness and health momentum, and my annual physicals seem to support that. So I'm grateful that the younger me thought about the older me enough to get started. But of course, it's never too late to get started. So that's the obvious way. There's actually some benefits financially. Obviously, if you are in good health, theoretically, you're going to spend less on health care. And as you know, one of the biggest expenses for in retirement is healthcare. Beyond the premiums for Medicare or insurance, it's those other costs of healthcare. And I want to keep those as low as possible by being as healthy as I possibly can. Joe, there's another thing about walking that will save me money in retirement. I don't know about you, but when I'm bored, I spend more money. And I have encountered days where I'm feeling boredom. And what I do is I get up and I go take a walk. I'll listen to a podcast and take a walk. And that is a whole lot better than spending money on something to fill that time. So that's the financial aspect. And then the purpose aspect, you know, my purpose in retirement is not going to be so I can walk more. Walking is certainly going to be a part of that. But I'm not looking forward to retiring so I can walk more. But right now, 3 years out, I am going back to that unexpected benefit of walking, solving problems. You know, I'm really spending time thinking through that purpose part of retirement. You know, what am I going to do, not just to fill the time, but to fill the time with meaning? And so, you know, I've got some time before I reach retirement. And so I'm really thinking deeply about, you know, what opportunities will I have in retirement with more time available that will be a purposeful and intentional way to use those retirement years. So my walking now is really one of my primary ways of thinking through that problem and beginning to solve that.
Trying to do the math quickly about how many steps between now and when you retire. You got plenty of steps to advance your purpose. And just wondering if listeners can send any problems to you that you might have time to solve if your list isn't full.
They can email me. It's just it also.
Oh, I'm sure I can solve them. I don't know if the solutions will be good ones, but.
And one last question, Dave, if we could. What's your advice for someone listening who wants to get started doing daily walking?
Yeah, again, I go back to start small and think long. Obviously, when we are talking about exercise and fitness, a lot of times, particularly if you are approaching retirement or you're in retirement, you tend to think of it in terms of, I have to. That three-legged stool. Yeah, I've got to have the money. I have to start exercising and get healthy. And I really see that there are opportunities to change the equation from have to get to. And walking, I believe, is a perfect way to get started because it can be an awful lot of fun. But on the front end, you still have that mindset of, I have to go out for a walk. I have to walk 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 10,000 steps. I would say, forget the 30 minutes, forget the 10,000 steps. Start with 10 minutes, which really is what my podcast, Walking as Fitness, is all about. It's there every day. It helps you get started, 10 minutes. And Joe, for some, even 10 minutes is too much. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, walk to the mailbox and back. Make a commitment every day to go out the front door, walk to the mailbox and back. So you can build up to 10 minutes. If 10 minutes is doable, start there, build the habit, get some momentum, and then start thinking about 20 minutes or 30 minutes or a step goal. But right now on the front end, start small and think long.
Dave, thanks so much for sharing all of your experience with walking, and I know it'll inspire a lot of people. It's been a big thing that I have the opportunity to get to do. And I love that comment about moving from have to get to. So thanks again for sharing your insights with us.
Joe, this has been an awful lot of fun. Thank you for the honor of allowing me to be on your show.
Thanks again. A few quick takeaways from the conversation on walking. Number one, give yourself the gift of walking. Why do I consider it a gift? A couple of reasons. One, something many of us can do, but it's not something everyone can do. So appreciate and be grateful for the opportunity to do it. And secondly, there are multiple benefits. There's a myriad of benefits that come from this. Give yourself time to think. Give yourself time to do other things that you may not be able to do, the podcasts, music, spending time in nature, which we've had other podcast guests comment on the health benefits of that. But give yourself the multiple benefits you can get from an activity that is easy to do if you're able. Number two, it doesn't need to be a big thing. You can work walking into your daily routine in many ways. There are many opportunities to do it. Look for them, and you'll be surprised. As I've discovered, it adds up pretty quickly. Also, look for different ways to do it. Going for a walk by yourself or with others. If you do both, it adds up again pretty fast. And finally, start. If you haven't started a walking practice but you want to, this is a great time of year to do it. Start by just walking for a specific length or amount of time. Don't go crazy, but focus on building the habit. You'll see in the show notes a link to another podcast interview with the previous guest, BJ Fogg, on the science of building a habit effectively in a fun and easy way. That can be one way to do it. But just get started, and you'll see over time it's something you'll look forward to because you'll appreciate something you get to do. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. We have episodes every Monday, and once or twice a month, we'll include a bonus episode or two on Thursdays. You can find all of our episodes at our website, retirementwisdom.com. You'll also find free tools there, including a quiz to take a look at how prepared you're getting to be for the non-financial side of retirement. There are also retirement calculators, number of articles, and all of our previous episodes over 5 seasons.
Just one more thing before you take off. Is it time to design your new life after you graduate from the world of full-time work? Go to retirementwisdom.com and schedule a call today with Joe Casey. Working with an experienced coach like Joe can help you explore new possibilities and gain clarity on your future. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. See you next week.